as a church, we've been going through authentic Christianity as a theme. That is the only Christianity. Jesus himself cemented the authenticity of the gospel by dying and resurrecting, so that everybody I see now who believes in Jesus and has repented of their sins will live forever. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. You can believe that because he died and resurrected. He actually said that before he died. And then now we can see it from this other side. Well, it's true. He is life. If we thank God. When we look at the word salvation, what comes to your mind? The power of God for salvation. What comes to your mind when you say salvation? Salvation is deliverance from death, danger, and destruction. Who doesn't want salvation? Tell me. Salvation itself, that word, is deliverance from death, destruction, and danger. Those three we don't like. I don't like any of those three. But Jesus, God, has given us that power of salvation, which we'll be looking at today. Today, we celebrate Easter. Some people will observe Easter because they have, tomorrow is public holiday. But we can celebrate because this is our proper birthday, the beginning of the assurance that we are saved. Jesus died and rose again. You know, people can say, come, I will help you. Come, I will bless you. Come and take something. Jesus is saying, come, I will take you to heaven. Not just that, I will be with you here on the way to heaven. We give thanks to God for what we have, and we continue to glorify his holy name. A few days ago, the world marked the picture, the first picture of the black hole. Who saw it? Oh, not many people. Please, can you put it on the screen? The picture of the black hole. Yes, you can see it there. I don't know what it looks like. What do you think? An eye? That's a bad eye. Yes, but it's been there for ages. I looked at it. I heard many things about it, commentaries. My wife would tell you I like the news. Kept listening. It took me back to my teenage years as they explained about the black hole. Why did it take me back to my teenage years? Let me tell you a story before I explained about this black hole. I don't know this, but I think it came from my mother, and the women around that time when I was young agreed on the same thing. They come from a place, a tropical place, where if there's a thunderstorm, you have the bird nest. Some of them will be displayed and they'll fall on the floor, on the ground. So as teenagers, we'll go and pick the bird nest and then take them home. So I took one home. My mother said, take it back. I said, why? He said, take it back. He said, because there may be eggs. And he said, take it back. I said, Mom, I just got this one. He said, take it back. Then she said, if you put your hand inside, anytime you eat, you won't be satisfied. So since I like food, I took it back. It has stayed with me up till now. I know it's not true, but whenever I see a bird's nest, I remember, don't put your hand inside it. This is the black hole. What happens if a person goes into a black hole? They said, it's an opportunity for all of us to be of the same height. They say if you enter with your feet first, it will stretch you like spaghetti. They call this spaghettiization. No, check it out. It will spread you out. So your feet first, you just spread out. You're just thinking, what happens to your makeup? What happens to your chest? It, you know, stretches you out. And they were talking about it and they were laughing. I was thinking, wow. I listened more. I decided to check online. So, if you are, what is beyond the black hole? And they said, the black hole is surrounded by an invisible boundary. That if you go beyond that, is a point of no return. Said it's very scary. Okay, see the black hole? Surrounded by invisible, you know, boundary. If you go beyond that boundary, it's known as the point of no return. But it took my mind to some things I've read from the Bible. I'm not saying they are the same, but just let us consider what the Bible says about the abyss. Who has read it? Abyss, okay? It says here that the abyss, it is regions of hell conceived as a bottomless pit. Two, Satan's dark abyss. This is the dictionary. A very deep hole that seems to have no bottom. There are some similarities there. Wow. The dark hole. Who wants to volunteer to go in there? Not me. I will hide my hands so that you will think I have no hands. But let's look at what Jesus says in John 20. Jesus came to his disciples. And the title of John 20 is The Empty Tomb. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." In the midst of the bear's nest, in the midst, considering the, you know, this black hole, Jesus comes to his disciples, those who believed in him, and said, "Peace be with you." He said it twice, "Peace be with you." And then he showed them the purpose. He said, "As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." First of all, he brought his peace. Then he showed, gave them the purpose. "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And then he didn't leave them like that. He breathed on them so they will have the Holy Spirit. "The Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will have power." He gave them the power. So let's look at those three P's. Do you need peace? Jesus gives peace. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the Lord of Lords. Do you think, what is your purpose in life? Look at it here. "As the Father has sent me," Jesus came not to condemn, but to save people. He had the power to condemn because he was completely holy, and you and I are completely sinful. So he had the time to spend every moment saying, "You are bad, you are bad, you are bad." No, he didn't say that. Even his disciples, he didn't call them. Notice, he didn't call them to say, "Hey, believe. You have to believe. I'll break your head and put belief inside." He didn't do that. He didn't say, come, I will teach you to pray. He modeled it first. It was his disciples that said, Lord, teach us how to pray. Then he taught them how to pray. But they still had to pray. What do you know that you are not doing? Lord, teach us to pray. He taught them how to pray. It was the same gospel that he preached to the crowd that the disciples listened to. 11 got it and obeyed. 1 betrayed him. One, that man with hair like this own, a trap. Nice. He said, very nice. He said, if Christ is anything to you, it should be everything. I got that before he left. If Christ is anything to you, it should be everything. One day, when we were in university, many years ago, I think 1975, we had 3 campuses. We had the university I attended. So they provided a bus service. So if you had lectures in one, you'll just go there. Buses were lined up. You took one. And then, you know, teenagers, they think they live forever, right? They don't die. They think, in fact, there was a time they brought a rumor that they removed what killed someone from cars. That you can walk to the middle, you can see a car coming, you can, you know, go in the middle. You know, we were joking like that. But some took it seriously. So once we had finished lectures and we're going to another campus, I was in the bus, and there were some people just put their hand on the entrance and were hanging outside. They were not outside, they were not inside. So we were going. Guess the name of our driver? Lucifer. Yeah, it was his nickname. But that was his name. His nickname was Lucifer. So we were going. Then we got to, for those who know by, we got to Obowo, and there was a bend. Lucifer took the bend, and one person fell off the bus. We all screamed. He was in hospital for a long time. Thank God he didn't die. He wasn't in, he wasn't out. And he fell off. And incidentally, the driver was called Lucifer. It was his nickname, but we all called him Lucifer. Okay? Are you in? Or are you out? Or are you just hanging in there? Thinking, well, yes, salvation, I know about it, but I will do it my way. You did not die. If you died, you did not resurrect. And if you want to practice dying, you will see that you will not resurrect. So, you go in and trust the one who says, I will take you there. I am life. I am life. If I give you life, you have life. The Bible says, through one man, sin came into the world. We've not been able to shake it off. But through one man, salvation, Christ Jesus, who died and rose again. Salvation came in. Imagine the enormity of the job coming into planet Earth. Everybody sinful. Yes, including you, everybody. That was enough to back out. Lord, this work is too much. No. He came directly on script. He lived. He died, he rose again. He displayed it. He showed what he came to do. He preached the good news. He got a few people. He poured their life into them, answered their questions, took them everywhere, and then gave them power. Today, he's still doing the same thing. What is your purpose? What does the Bible say your purpose is? Jesus provides peace. He also gives power, and he has shown us the purpose. Look at how Apostle Paul puts it in Ephesians 1:18 to 22. It says, I pray that the eyes of your heart will be enlightened. He was speaking to Christians, you know, in Ephesus. In order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. If you go back again to the beginning, look at it. Says that I pray that your eyes will be enlightened, that you know the hope to which he has called you. See, Apostle Peter says this, adds something to it, which I will talk a little bit about. Says, the hope, do you know the hope to which he has called you? When Jesus saves you, he calls you into a hope. Let us actually look at 1 Peter 1:3. Look at how Peter puts it. He says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Christ Jesus from the dead. A living hope. What is a living hope? A living hope is hope that you are hope, but you are already enjoying some. Don't tell me I have hope when I'm not enjoying some. Give me a taster. He's tasting some right now. Not so. Thank you, Deborah. You know, yeah, you're tasting some. Living hope. It's alive. It's alive. The hope that Jesus gives is a living hope. Like it's like the Holy Spirit being given to you as a deposit concerning the great things that will come. If you have hope and it's not a living hope, you say maybe, maybe not. He promised me, will give me something he hasn't given me. She promised me she would buy something for me, you know. No, this is a living hope. It gives you. You saw it. He died. He rose again. And then when you are born again, you see transformation. When I opened my heart to Jesus, my life changed. The delay in my growth was not about God. It was me. The times the pressures from outside. But as I learned to trust him, wow. As I gave my life to Christ, I knew many things in the Bible immediately. Before then, I was going to church. I was in the choir. My father was the pastor. No, he was the archdeacon. You know, I knew the entire order of service in my head, because in the Anglicans you don't change it. You know, when you read the same thing, so after some time you can close your eyes, you can actually be falling asleep and be going through it. Yes, because they don't change it. So, but I was not a Christian. But when someone told me one day, it's not the crowd, you know, people's behaviors are different when they are alone or when they are with their friends. That's why when you go to some shops, they tell you one person only, one student only, so that when they go out, because when they are many, some just there, I'll just take this sweet, I'll see whether they will catch me. Before they know it, the police is called and their parents are called, because they won't normally do that. So since I knew that one day I would give account of myself before God, I open my heart, Lord, forgive me. Wash me clean from all unrighteousness. You can see everything. This is God that can see everything. They locked the room. He came in without keys, without the door being open. What can you hide from him? Think you can hide something in your makeup bag? No. A locked room, secured room, he came in. When he came in, that was enough to kill them there out of fear. He said, peace. Peace be with you. They had problems outside for fear of the Jews. They had problems inside. You lock a room and someone appears, you will freak out, isn't it? So he saved them from outside and from inside. Peace be with you. Don't you like that peace? Don't you want to embrace that peace? So we thank God for his goodness and his love. You know, it says, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. 1 Peter 1:3. See, not just the hope, the living hope, but the riches of his glorious inheritance. That is, it's not only you. Edward preached last Sunday, the unity of the Spirit. You are not the only one. It's the body. He gives you something I don't have. He gives you something I don't have. He expects us to work together. But where we want to differentiate, oh, it's me. I'm the main man, I'm the main woman. You just bring problems. Thank you very much. You know, so the way it goes, you know, we work together. It's giving us this living hope, and then we work together. Kenny has things I don't have. I have things he doesn't have, but it's not about me, it's not about him. We bring things together. You know, we come from a big family, and it's time to eat. Like, okay, let me tell you, what happened a short while ago? When we all brought food in, brought various things, it's always wonderful. You know, this one brings this, this one brings this. You eat a bit of this, wow. You eat that one, wow. That's what the Lord wants. Unity of spirit. He has put gifts in saints. It's not only you. When you think you are the only one, know that you have problems. Edward said it last week as well. Humility. Humble yourself. And then you begin to see the mighty arm of God being displayed. The glorious inheritance in the saints. And then it talks about the power. The power, he said, the power that he has given you. Many of us are so scared because we don't hold the core thing right. We don't open our hearts fully to the Lord. Is it the Lord? Is it the world? And okay, let's balance as if we are holding on to a car, a moving bus. You are neither in nor out. When you come in, say, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to live for you. Lord, help me. He will direct your path. He's a good God. There will be some difficulties. He wants to teach you. How will you learn? From experience, you think you have learned something. He gives you another challenge. When you go through that, you say, wow, okay, I'm better now. He keeps changing us from glory to glory. If not, he will just employ the pharmacist to prescribe medication for you. You drink this, you grow this way. You drink another one, you go this way. What's the dosage again? Increase it, you go that way. No. You are in the world, but not of the world. This morning, I woke up to, Happy Easter, Granddad! Then, Happy Easter, Grandma! Anyway, then later we had Happy Easter eggs. We thank God. Does Amanda have an Easter egg? Thank you very much. You are so kind. Give her a round of applause, please. Can I open it? Children, do you like this? Okay. See what Apostle Paul says in Romans 1. 16 to 17. Oh. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Good. Stay there. Stay with me. Stay with me. Yes. Yes. That's good. That is passion. Yes. That is passion. Apostle Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jews and then to the Gentiles. Then for in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." You know, Apostle Paul knew the passion, the purpose for which he was called. "As the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you." How does Jesus send us? He wants us to know the gospel and then go and tell others. Easter eggs, children, it's not about the, you know, it's not about the Easter egg. It's about Easter is about Jesus dying and resurrecting. If you open the gospel, if this was the gospel, right? I know this is Easter egg, not so. Imagine this is the gospel. When you open it, what do you think you will see? Jesus. If you open this package, if this was the gospel, okay, of salvation, right? When you open it, this package, what do you see inside? Completely Jesus. Because he was the one that died and rose again. He is the good news. He brings the good news. He is life, is the way, the truth, and the life. And he wants you to preach this at home with your lives, at work with your lives, and then with your words. We are in the world, but not of the world. Let people know who you are by keeping quiet first, praying, and then when they swear, which people do a lot, and they notice you don't swear, they know you don't swear. So one day they'll say, "Why don't you swear?" It gives you a platform. It gives you a platform. But if you are among a group of people and they don't know who you are the same with them. What message do you want to tell them? Nothing. But I want to tell you, your message is the best. Is the best. The power of God is the greatest. Jesus is the one that takes us there. He is the everlasting Father. He is the one that does not change. He is the resurrection and the life. He is the one that removes our fears. But there are some bush people, bush beliefs. They tell you, "Follow me, you know, my own is the good." Who else died for sins? Who else rose again from the dead? But on the internet, with friends, "Oh, it's not cool to go to church." So, it's cool where you are, right? You don't know where you're going. Teenagers and children, you have the real McCoy. You have the real message. You have the real life. Love them, but let them see your life, Christ in you. And then you tell them why. He gives you hope. He gives you direction. He gives you help. He helps you to navigate this life, which is dangerous, treacherous. Ask the old people. They will tell you. They've done miles. At this time, I want to give thanks to God for Grace Owunne, Eric Branigan, Josephine Johnson, Veronica, Florence, you know, and the rest of us. Sorry, I can't call all your names because you are not old enough. We thank God. They are a blessing. They are a blessing. You know, they are where we are not. We're going to see Eric the other day. Was still thinking of playing his violin. At 80 plus, at 84, at 85, where will you be? Where will I be? Well, what they tell us and teach us is that wherever you start now, live for Jesus. Live for Jesus. It says, he will not leave you, he will not forsake you. Apostle Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. When someone begins to write this, it means some people are ashamed. There are some people who will not want to identify that they are Christians. I want to tell you, the way to identify that you are a Christian is not to go bringing people down. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't do this. Christ is the message. Okay? Christ is the message. When Jesus comes in, I don't have time to tell you the things that changed in me immediately as I gave my life to Christ. When Jesus genuinely comes into people, like Apostle Paul says, I'm praying for you that Christ will be formed in you. Apostle Paul was not the same again. From being a terrorist, the first biblically recorded ISIS, to being an apostle, so when you genuinely come to the Lord, Lord, I've reached the end, right? I come to you. Forgive me my sins. He transforms you. And then he gives you, I will save you. Go and tell others. Spread the fire. Spread the message. This is the right message. The message of truth. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. As I round up, in a conclusion, so what should we do? So what should we do, Christians? I'm talking to people who have been Christians. The Lord expects us to fire on all cylinders. Embrace the gospel by believing in Jesus and repenting of your sins. The repentance shows how authentic your embrace of the gospel is. Whether you are right or not. You know, repentance. Say, Lord, forgive me. I turn away. Help me. I still struggle. I still like it, but Lord, it's not right. Help me, O Lord. It's all about God now, not you. These days is everything. If you have any problem, they go and look for a gene for it. That's why you are that. Well, it's all about Jesus. Ask Jesus. He's the one who died. He's the one that the world today is celebrating his resurrection. Two, tell others about your experience. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Tell others. There will be times you may feel, I've done a lot of things, I don't want to tell that person. Pray that God will forgive you and help you. It will help you. It will help you. I want to add something here that I did not say. Remember, you have the message. You have the Lord, the creator of heaven and earth on your side. The world is telling you, no, come to our side. No, you have the original. If you are not convinced of who you are, then you are a follower of others. You just follow them. This is it. Personal relationship with Jesus. He loves you. He calls you by name. And there's only one copy of you he has made for eternity. So, the way you respond is to go to him, Lord, thank you. And then that experience of knowing him, tell others. That's called witnessing. Three, say no to anything that dims the fire of the gospel. Tayo preached the other day, and he told us about what the Lord was saying in Revelation about the Ephesian church. Your first love. You've been doing everything right, what you did at first. And then at the night vigil, we prayed that that week we should all go out, and their testimonies. We make it up front. You see the passion that the children showed when they were singing. We show that passion not in a closed place, but outside. telling others about Jesus, sowing seeds, sowing seeds. And say no to anything that I started telling you, okay, I did that when I was young. Now I'm old. You are not old. You see the passion in our mothers here. You know, Josephine, loving the Lord. Grace. You know, we thank God for them. We thank God for them. Florence. Eric Brannigan. Saying anything that dims your fire. No. No. I am going to serve the Lord all the days of my life. Praise the Lord. And finally, ask for more infilling of the Holy Spirit as you keep going. The Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. The Bible says it is incomparable, great power. It's revealed in when he fills you with his Holy Spirit. Impossible things become possible. Things that we struggle with, we're able to break them as we obey him. Let us pray.